If you would open your Bibles, please, at the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, and we want to look at the passage that Greg read to us from verse 43 to verse 54. John, chapter 4, from verse 43 to 54. Do you ever wonder why people are telling you what they're telling you? I think if you're watching the news this week, for any time in the news, maybe as the votes were happening in Parliament especially, and you listened to these politicians, and when they were interviewed, you had to listen to what they were saying and ask, why were they telling you this? Which side of the debate were they on? Should there be an extension to Brexit? Should there be a people's vote? All sorts of questions are coming into it. You don't recognize their names anymore, and you don't know what they really stand for, so you have to listen, and you say, why are you telling me what you're telling me? When we're listening to each other, say, you sometimes, Fiona comes home from work and she'll tell me about a little boy or a little girl at nursery without giving too many names. And by the end of the story, I'm wondering, why are you telling me what you're telling me? Is it just so that I laugh sometimes that there's funny stories, or have I to do something with it? Because sometimes when I'm supposed to be listening, I get to the end and go, oh, I was supposed to do something, because I'm not brilliant at listening. And so we have to ask, why are you telling me this? Why am I telling you all this? Why is John telling us everything he's telling us? Well, we get to the end of the Gospel of John. We said it at the start. These things are written, John chapter 20 and verse 31. These things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you might have eternal life. That's why these things are written. So why is John 4, 34 to the end of the chapter in here? Why is this story here? Why do you need to know about a rich official's son who was healed? These things are written so you may believe. It's the same purpose. Anything in the book contains the same purpose as the total amount of the stories that are in it. And so I have to, if you're going to listen to me today, you might say, well, why are you telling me what you're telling me? Well, you could come up with a bit of a cynical answer. You could say, you're just telling me what's in John chapter 4, verse 34 to the end, because last week Greg did John chapter 4 to verse 33. And you're going through the Gospel of John, so it's all about just moving forward. Yeah, there's a little bit of, we're going through a book in progression, but I want to tell you what I'm telling you today so that you might believe. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God's Messiah, and that by believing, you might have eternal life. So if you're not a Christian yet, I want you to listen. I want you to listen and try and figure out what you need to do, how you need to do it, because I think this chapter, this section is very helpful for us in this. First thing I want to do is just look at the story from the perspective of two people, of the man and of Jesus, and then ask, how does this help us believe? And to look at that in two ways. So the story, as we look at it, let's try and think about the man who comes to Jesus. He's a man who comes to Jesus, verse 46. There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And his son, we read in verse 47 at the end of it, was close to death. Who is this man? He's a royal official. He's well connected. He's got a good job. People know who he is and where he's come from. And he's not on the edge of society. He's right into it. He's not a poor man who can't afford anything. He's a man who's probably been connected to different doctors and things like that. He is at this time an important man, but in his mind, who is he? He's dad. His dad and his lad is sick at home and he's dying, and that's all that's going through his mind. And I think as parents we can connect it, as children of parents we can connect it, as people who've had pets that have got sick, we can connect to this idea that this sick person, this person who's dying, is filling us with anxiety. Doesn't matter that we haven't had breakfast. It doesn't matter that we need a haircut or that the boss is phoning us and saying, get back to work. My son is sick and I need to sort this. I need to do everything I can to have this put right. And He's tried to get things put right, I would say. I'm speculating, but he's a royal official. He's not a poor man. He will have tried to go to doctors. And we get to the end point. Nowadays, what happens when we get near the end is, with sick children, online fundraising. Because we go for the treatment that isn't offered on the NHS, but it's available somewhere else, and it has a possible cure. And you completely understand. Most of us have probably donated to these to different friends who've had to put on these online fundraising things, because if there's a chance that this child would be healed, then we'll support that. And we completely understand why you as parents would be so desperate that your child would be cured. And so he's heard again that Jesus is in Galilee. Verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So who is this man? He's a man who's heard that Jesus is in Galilee. Perhaps he's heard before that Jesus had been in Galilee and Jesus had turned water into wine. He's connected to royalty, this man, so perhaps he knows some of the miracles that Jesus has performed in Jerusalem. Perhaps he knows more about Jesus and his activities and from day to day than we might know at this point. He might have heard stories that aren't even recorded in the Gospels, but he might have known some things about Jesus, and he knows that Jesus performs miracles. So how does he go about it? Honey, Jesus is in Galilee. Do you think I should go and ask him? Maybe we should check online in the forums and see what Jesus' healing is like, that Jesus can do. Let's see how many stars his reviews get, sort of thing. Let's see if his healings have worked before, because that's what we do now when we're looking for a cure. We look online before we even go to the doctor. We diagnose ourselves and all these sorts of things. This man, do you think he did that? Well, no, he didn't go online, obviously, but he heard Jesus was there, so what did he do? I don't think he had to think for too long. Everything else had failed. His son was dying, so he says, I'm going to Jesus. I'm going there, and he goes. He shows that he has some faith that Jesus can cure his son, but then when he gets there, come Jesus, he gets a bit of a rebuttal, a no. I'm not coming, and that doesn't stop him from pleading, because he believes that Jesus is the only way his son is going to be cured at this point. We'll come on to this man's faith a little bit more. That's the man. He gets a well son because he goes to Jesus, and we'll see how that happens. Second person I want to and step into their shoes, and you might think it's a bit ridiculous, but try and step into Jesus' shoes for a moment, or sandals. What does he think? He's had to come from one place to another, and we're not actually quite sure, verse 43 to verse 45, exactly what's gone on in these verses. Jesus left for Galilee. Why does John tell us that at this point that Jesus is a prophet without honor in his own country? So Jesus is coming. He's called Jesus of Nazareth, and he does a lot of his ministry in Galilee. He doesn't quite go home, but he does go amongst his people. Jerusalem, he'd come from there. So we're not quite sure what all of this means, but we know that Jesus has arrived in Cana in Galilee, and whether he's escaping persecution or whether it's just not the time, but he's come here. And what Jesus starts to experience as he goes from place to place, as we find in different Gospels, is people start coming to him. You wonder, what's going through Jesus' mind? Can a man not get a moment's peace in this place? Here's another person. Another person is coming to me, and they don't actually want me. They don't want to know me. They don't want what I offer. They just want me to put out my hands and do a sign, and then everything will be well, and then they get on with their life. Is Jesus getting frustrated with all of these people, I wonder, as people come to them? But I don't quite know what's going through Jesus' mind. I don't know why. Is there a frustration in his voice when he says in verse 48, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you'll never believe. Is there a bit of anger? Oh, come on, people. Why do you always need signs and wonders to believe in me? Who's he speaking to? Is it just so this man hears? What's Jesus saying? Well, let's just step back. These things are written so you may believe. So is this written so you might believe? That we're starting to get a picture from Jesus here that we don't need him to put out his hand. We don't need Jesus to be in the room. That even today, whilst we need the presence of God in our lives, we don't need the physical presence of Jesus to be in this room to solve our problems. Because some of you are coming today with a big problem that you're not in a relationship with God. You don't need Jesus in this room for you to come into a relationship with God. You don't need the physical presence of Jesus in this room. And with all our other difficulties and things, as we put up our hands and say, yeah, we're some of these people that sometimes say, do this thing for me and I might believe in you, that we're starting to understand that we can see more from Jesus than he's just somebody who puts out his hand or says something and good things happen. So the reason that we discover more about Jesus here through that frustration, through that point that points at the people and says, unless you see miraculous signs, you'll never believe, that we're being helped to believe by not seeing a sign at this moment in the way that we would have wanted to. I want to say too that I think that Jesus wasn't saying to the man, I'm unwilling to come. I don't think Jesus was saying to the man, hey, Fred, I don't care about your son. I don't care if he dies. I think what Jesus was saying is, what I want to show you is, you don't need me in the room for me to heal your son. He wants the man's faith to be in him, in Jesus himself, rather than the act of touching or of something like that. And so what we are seeing as we look at this is that Jesus is showing us that he doesn't always give us what we want. Because when we come to Jesus, we say, give me this. You know, think of your prayers. What are you praying about most at the moment? What are you praying about? Is it money? Is it family? Is it health? Is it a situation? And in a lot of our situations, Jesus will not give us what we're asking him for because he knows it's not actually what we need. It's just what we want. But he does know what we need. He knows what we need more than anything. And as we go to him, it's that he will give us because that's who he is. So that's what I think of the story from this these two people's point of view. And now I want to ask, how does it help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus is the Christ, and that these things are written, so we might believe, and that by believing we might have eternal life. Well, I think first of all, it helps us believe that Jesus is the Christ. It helps us believe who he is and all these things about him. And maybe you've come to church today and you're not quite sure why you're here or why you've come to this church today or something like that. You're maybe not sure about Jesus. Do you really need Jesus? People tell you you need Jesus, but do you really need Jesus? Because, well, he's not that high on your agenda. He's not the most important thing in your life. Well, if you're here and you've got questions about Jesus, it's great to see you. It's good to welcome you, and we'd love to listen to your questions later to try and answer them. Myself or Greg would be happy to speak with you. But maybe you've come because you do want Jesus to do something for you. And it's something particularly special to you. But these things are written to help you believe. And so how does this help us believe in Jesus? Well, I think this helps us believe in Jesus as we come to him. He does know what you need. He knows you. He knows the people that are in front of him. He knows what's happening in their lives. He knows what we need. So this man wanted a sign, and the sign he wanted was a good sign. You can completely relate to a parent that the sign that he wants is a well son, and the well son will be a sign to him that Jesus has cured, Jesus has power, and he desperately wants that thing. And lots of us might come to Jesus wanting something, but we don't come to him with the understanding of who he is and why he really came. that he's God's Messiah who would save the people, God's people, by doing something. But Jesus shows that he knows us. And in John's Gospel, this picture has been built up. This picture has been built up as I think the first person I understood it clearly with was Nathaniel. When Jesus says to him, I saw you when you were sitting under the tree. This man was sitting under a tree studying, and he couldn't see Jesus. He wasn't in the presence of Jesus, but Jesus saw him. You come to Nicodemus later on, and well, he's got big questions about Jesus, but Jesus gets right into Nicodemus's mind and starts talking to him. And then we had the woman of Samaria last week, and Jesus knows her. Hey, the man you're with's not your husband, because you've had five husbands. Whoa, how did you know all this? This man here, he comes to Jesus and his son's sick. But Jesus actually knows what he needs. He knows what his son needs. He knows his son needs healed. But he also knows what this dad needs. Because this dad is given everything that is promised in the Gospel of John. These things are written that you might believe. What happened at the end of the story? The man believes. And that by believing, you might have eternal life. Jesus knows what we need. And this story shows us this. So that helps us to believe in Jesus. As you come to him today, you think this is my big need, this is my big want. He knows one thing you need more than anything. Second thing, it helps us believe because in Jesus, because it shows us that Jesus has God's power. Jesus has God's power. You may go, your son will live. You may go, your son will live. Whoa. I'm 20 miles away. That's all the distance it was. But that's half a day away when you're walking that distance, isn't it? It's late in the day, we think, and he says, okay, go home. Jesus speaks with God's power. Why am I telling you what I'm telling you? So that you might believe in Jesus, and that by believing you might have eternal life. Believe in a man who healed a boy 20 miles away 2,000 years ago. You're asking me to believe an old story I can't verify, because I'd quite like to meet this lad and say, did Jesus heal you? And then it might help me believe, you might say. But you've got to believe the words of Jesus, even though you can't see him. That's what we discover as we look through the whole gospel. He might not come and tell us, hey, your angst is taken away, your depression is lifted, your cancer is gone, your child will live, your dog will never die, or whatever it is you want to hear from him. But what you hear instead is something better. Jesus says later on in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, when he says these great I am statements, he says that he's the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him will live. Even though he dies, he will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus says that we'll have eternal life. And he gives us these promises. It's better than being restored to health on earth. It's better than our sickness has been taken away for a short time. We're given life forever. And so we've to believe in God's power today. We're to believe that God is at work in our lives, even if he's not physically present. A few weeks ago, we remembered where Jesus was, that Jesus is seated at God's right hand, and God has given all authority to him. Every power, all authority over things on heaven and on earth. Jesus is in control. And so when you come to him with your problem and with your issue, it's not you that's in control, it's Jesus. And so he is able. He speaks his word and it happens. Third thing to believe about Jesus that helps us believe from this story that Jesus is the Christ is that his promises come true. Let me tell you a story. There was a man and his son was really sick. His son was dying and he was at his wit's end and he went to Jesus. And Jesus, he said, come and heal my son. Jesus said, no. You people just look for signs. He said, come and heal my son. And he just said, go and your son will live. And the man went home. And on his way home, he met his friends, his servants. And they said, he's living. He's doing well is actually what they said. He's thriving almost. Well, you would believe the promises of God. Promises of God are that this boy would live. This boy would not die. the man's faith is increased as he understands. And the promises of Jesus come true. This week, whilst we've been shocked to see somebody go into a mosque in New Zealand and shoot, I think 49 people are dead. A big number of people. It's horrific, but the promises of Jesus come true. 120 Christians this week have been killed in Nigeria. It happens more often that way round. And we don't hear about it. And I'd like to say to the families of the Nigerian Christians, the promises of God come true. The promises of Jesus come true. Well, what help is that to us at this time? Well, Jesus said, Mark chapter 10, everybody's going to hate you because of me. All men are going to hate you because of me. In this world where we want everyone to love us, actually, Jesus says, that's not going to happen. Everybody's going to hate you because of me. Is that bad news? No. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Those who keep going will be saved. How? Because whoever lives and believes in me will never really die, but will live, will always have life. Jesus' promises come true. And distance doesn't matter to him. He is able to help us. Jesus' promises come true. So Jesus is the Christ. I think this passage, I hope this passage helps you believe that Jesus is the Christ, because that's what John's gospel is written to help you believe. But how do you believe? What is it for me to believe? How can I believe? You all talk about believing, but what does it all mean? Well, I think, again, this passage is written to help you understand that you may believe. You can believe. And there's a good example here of a man who has a progressive journey of faith. A growing faith is a better way to put it, because that's often how the Bible puts how our faith goes. His faith grows. He goes to Jesus because he believes Jesus may save. It's the last resort. He's tried everything else, and he comes now to Jesus. And it might be the same with you. You might have had a messy life. Things have gone wrong. How did I end up in this mess? What do I do now? It might even be that you've rejected Jesus before, but you come to Jesus and you say, well, maybe he can help me. Maybe he can help me by doing this or that thing for me. He believed Jesus could save, it may be able to save. So he didn't know everything we know about Jesus. He hadn't heard the famous I am statements that even John records for us to give us confidence in him. And he didn't know at this point that Jesus was going to die on the cross for his sins and in his place. He didn't know as much as you know in one sense. He might have been able to smell Jesus in a way that you can and stuff like that, but he didn't know it all. But he went to Jesus, and he came to Jesus knowing what he knew. So whatever stage you're at today, it's a good time to come to Jesus, knowing what you know. Say your knowledge of Jesus isn't great. Even knowing what you know, it's a good time to come to Jesus at this moment. You might have demands that he won't meet, but not needs that he can't. He came believing Jesus may save. And then I think his faith increased because he showed he believed Jesus can save. Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you're never going to believe. So he's come believing Jesus may, but he doesn't take that. He says, sir, he says, come down before my child dies. Jesus, he believes, can do this. Come down before my child dies. I'm not here for a sign. I'm here for a life saving. I'm here because I believe that you can do it. He's not saying, I won't believe without a sign. He's saying, I believe that you can do it. He's saying, no, you have to come. And so what we tend to do to God sometimes is, or some people do to God, I don't know if you've ever done it, I'll give a ridiculous example, but you might say, God, I'll believe in you if tonight when I look out at the moon it starts flashing with blue lights around it or something like that. Something crazy. God, just prove to me that you're there. Only to me. and then I'll believe in you. We can do things like that sometimes. And this man isn't like that. He tells the man that the signs aren't coming, but this man then just shows he believes. Because what this man does is he proves he believes before it is reasonable or sensible to show it. Do you guess what I'm saying? So he had no evidence his son was alive, but he believed Jesus and he started walking home. Now you might say the word of Jesus is enough evidence if your faith is like that, but he just got to know Jesus and he took Jesus at his word. He took Jesus at the power of his word. And so when he asks us to believe, we can be like that man and say, yes, I should do it. Miracles would increase our faith. That's, miracles are signs. This is a sign, it tells us at the end of the passage, a second sign in the gospel here. And that's to help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, a building up of the picture. But what we're starting to see is we've got to have the whole person of Jesus rather than just the sign that he might show. Two more things. Believe Jesus did save. That's where the man's faith goes. He starts walking home. He goes at peace thinking, I'm going home. He leaves, we think, about 7 o'clock at night after he's told these things, the seventh hour, so it's later on in the day. He starts walking, maybe not 7 o'clock, but he's going away. And he's heading home to his son, who he believes now is alive because he believes in Jesus. He believes the words Jesus has spoken. How does this help us? So we can believe Jesus may save, Jesus can save, but he believes Jesus did save and he goes home. Who are you today? If you're a Christian, you are somebody who believes Jesus did save. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus went on the cross. Jesus put his arms out till they were stretched out and he was nailed to this cross. And that by doing that, by dying in your place and for your sins, he took God's anger, he took your place, and so you are saved eternally from hell. But in a way, you've got very little evidence of that. You've got the whole word of God, but you've got to keep putting your faith in it. You've got to keep trusting that this is true. It'd be quite nice if Jesus came to you now, like Thomas asked him, and said, show me the holes in your hands and in your side. But Jesus doesn't do that. He says that people are blessed when they believe without seeing these things. And so we need to understand that Jesus has saved us, that Jesus has done all that we need him to do. And we can trust him without any physical sign. We don't need to see the physical resurrected Jesus right now to know that it's true. We can believe it. And we're called to believe that it's true. We're called to believe that it's true. So we put our words in our faith in his words. That's what this man did. This man heard Jesus and he put his faith in what Jesus said. And that's what we've to do as well. Greater love has no man than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. Put your faith in these words, that Jesus loves you that much that he would die for you in your place and for your sins. Believe in Jesus when he says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. We've already read that in John's gospel. And so he draws us to himself as he dies on the cross. But our dear Lord Jesus is not dead on a cross. He is risen in heaven and he has all authority. And he is still calling people like you and me to put our trust in him. And we can believe that this Jesus did save. And we believe that this Jesus will save as he returns and takes us to be with himself forever. Finally, we can be like this man and believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Because I think that's where the passage brings us to the end. At the end. So the man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still in the way, his servants met him with news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. What did they believe? Well, we're in the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is not calling us to believe that a boy who was sick was raised from sickness to health. The Gospel of John is calling us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, we might have life in his name. That's what we're called to believe here. And this man, as his faith increases, his faith in the whole person of Jesus increases. And so he's believing that Jesus is not just this miracle healer who, if only he would come and touch me, my son will live. But he believes in the ability of Jesus. He believes that Jesus has power. He believes that Jesus can, that his words bring life. He believes that Jesus did because his boy is well. And that's what we are called to do, to believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus can. What's my big problem? My big problem is I'm separated from God by my sin. We believe that Jesus is God's way of bringing life to us. But how does he do it? He does it by his power. It's not because I'm good or anything like that. I have to go to him and he has to do it. And he speaks and he tells us that he'll give us life, that he'll never lose anybody who comes to him or anything like that. And we believe that as we go forward, Jesus is not dead, but Jesus is alive and ruling and reigning in our lives. So as Christians who've come to Jesus, our faith is that he's our Lord and Savior. And if it's not, if your faith isn't that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then are you stuck somewhere on the journey? Are you stuck with a little faith that's saying, "Do this and I'll believe in you"? Jesus came to give you life. He didn't come just to do the little things. He came to give you life, and life that lasts forever. See that he died. See that he died and he gives life not just to dead sons, but who got life that day? I think the father got life that day, and I think the household got life, eternal life, as they believed in Jesus. And if you haven't yet put your faith in him, then come however you are and put your faith in him. Why are we telling you this? So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. And that's what you can have if you would believe in him. Let's pray.